Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to the Live the Fuel show. Today we are down at MapCon 2016. This is the Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I'm actually, if you hear any background noise, these microphones are pretty good, but we are at the end of the event. It's kind of like the after party. There's a wedding going on apparently as well. I have a gentleman with me that his platform helped me launch this show. So if you've ever heard of podcastwebsites.com, and if you haven't, you need to go to the website right now and check it out. So his platform literally helped me relaunch my website, get this show off the ground as of this past Monday. So we haven't even hit 1 week old yet. This gentleman flew in from the United Kingdom. So he's in from over the pond. And you know what? I've only known him for only a couple of weeks. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Welcome, Mark Asquith. And welcome to the show. Welcome to Live the Fuel, man.
Yo, how you doing, Scott?
Dude, I'm having a blast. How about you?
I'm good. It's been a good day. I can't believe a wedding's just walked into the bar, though. What's that all about?
Well, that's why I was like, you know, I was going to ask you guys if you want to do these episodes like in a quiet hotel room. And I'm like, nah. Let's just go ahead and it's a free-for-all.
We did, for the show, it was a New Media Europe last year, and me and Chris Ducker did an interview.
Okay.
We were chatting away, and we sequestered a bar area. We literally stormed a reserved bar area.
Okay.
So if you listen to the episode, whatever it is, episode 40-something at Excellence Expected, it was like, there's piano music, there's like shouting in the background, there's singing in the background. And it was the first live one that I'd done in a hotel.
And this
lobby.
Is not, this is from your event or this is from another
No, this
bleed
is
over?
From New Media Europe. We were okay. Both speaking there and I recorded him for my show. But it's crazy. It sounds amazing. Like you've got the nice background music. You don't, you know, you feel like you need a quiet environment.
Right.
But it really adds a little bit of atmosphere, which is kind of nice. It's weird. It's weird. It really adds to it.
Well, I mean, like I said, I didn't know what I was going to do, and I'm the new guy on the block here at this event, so I was like, well, I don't really care, and now you're telling me, apparently it's not a big deal.
Dude, honestly, I've done so many crazy things with my podcast. Like, I've got dog barking, I've got, like, police sirens, I don't edit a thing out, man.
Okay, so you're one more that has reinforced that for me. So, again, I've told people on this show before, and it's only been a few episodes, but I was like, listen, why? I said, it's real, it's transparent, keep it organic. If somebody accidentally drops an F-bomb, my bad. I did not ask for that. I mean, it's real life. People are just being who they are. If they get really fired up and really excited, let them roll, man. See what happens.
Yeah, who knows where it's going to go. I did my first ever explicit episode was with a guy, a good friend of mine called Brad Burton over in the UK.
Okay.
He's UK's number one business motivational speaker. He gets people fired up, you know?
I'm going to check this guy out.
Oh, he's amazing. I'll introduce you. He's, he's a character.
Okay.
He's a really good friend. I've got him into the whiskey as well, so he's an even better friend now.
Oh, dear Lord. So he's already fired up before the whiskey.
Yeah.
Now you got him on
now
the whiskey.
Now he's on the whiskey. Now he's an even better friend. But he came on my show, and he's got a real story to tell. You know, he's talking like bullets through the window.
What?
And like every third word is F. And like,
oh, wow.
I'm the same as that. You'll not get this because I'm not like this generally when I'm speaking or whatever.
Sure.
But honestly, if I'm at home or whatever, I'm really bad for it.
Okay.
And so that was the first episode I had to mark as explicit. But after that, I was like, oh, screw this. I'm not going to edit anything anymore.
Right.
Like, if that passes,
yeah,
this is fine.
Well, I mean, I know we're kind of geeking out right now about podcast stuff, guys, but what... Is there a rule against it? I mean, not really.
No, there's no rule. It's your, like you said earlier, it's not that the FDA aren't approving any of this
yeah.
stuff. So just do what you want. Do what you want. As long as you mark it as explicit in iTunes.
Okay.
So you don't have to mark the entire show. You can just mark each episode as explicit.
See, this is an educational session as well for my listeners and myself because I literally, like I said, just launched my site on his
yeah.
website platform. So I'm still kind of finding my way along the path. And, for example, I know for a fact that I did have a guest swear on the episodes, and I don't know where to mark it explicit, so we're going to have to follow up after this episode.
Yeah,
on that.
We'll find that out. We'll find that out. It only takes a second, don't
okay.
worry.
So, and that one's already live, so I'll fix that later.
Hey, I brought illegal vodka into the U.S. You know, we're fine. We're
yeah,
getting away
yeah,
with
so,
that.
So, again, the tagline for the show is fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. But on the healthy aspect, last night when we all met up, we were all having a little pre-cocktail hour, doing some networking, everybody's meeting. You had just flown, you bussed in from New York City.
Yeah, the bus is another story. Maybe we'll get into
that. Yeah, apparently, and now, like I said, tomorrow I'll take the train, man.
I've got the train, but don't you worry about that. Oh, my word.
But you roll in, and we're hanging out with Michael O'Neill, and next thing you know, a bottle comes out. And now, I do tell people, like, listen, if you are going to drink, they do say that the clear is the way to go. Brown, probably not so much if you're trying to cut back on sugars. And you clearly had a clear bottle of liquor, and it was marked UK. And what I did not know was it was also illegal. So what does that mean? Like, there's illegal vodka?
Well, I didn't know it was illegal either in the States. So Michael says, so we're talking away. And he says, can you bring that was it. I said, right, we'll get a whiskey if you want while we're at the bar. He said, I'll take a vodka. So then Michael shoots back, as long as it's Zubrovka, which is a specific type of Polish vodka.
Okay.
So then I send him a picture of me holding this Zubrovka that I just have, like, no word of a lie, I've got an unopened bottle of this on my drinks cabinet at home. So I didn't know that he liked that. So I take a picture of this thing, send it to him. And he's like, wow, holy crap, that's the stuff. Like, that's the real stuff that you can't get here in the States. So in my naivety, I just think, it's fine. It's a different recipe, whatever. It's cool. I'll bring it over. I'll take him along, give him a little present.
And it's apparently his brand.
Yeah, like, he loves it. But apparently it's illegal because there's some toxins that are in it.
Yeah, I learned that last night. I didn't know there's actually toxins. And I forget, did we even do the research? We know where the toxins came from. Well, yeah, we definitely had a nice sip. And I think more of the wedding is rolling in. Wow, there's a lot of beautiful ladies in dresses. And
then some not so beautiful ladies in dresses.
Which is the typical wedding.
Yeah, it's
so
standard. That's a standard
wedding. Well balanced here. But did we figure out where the toxins came from? Is it from the grass? Because this was called bison grass.
Zubrovka bison grass. Yeah. I think it's from the grass.
But I did Google last night. Somebody else was Googling the toxins. I did find out. We didn't think there's actually bison in Poland.
Poland, yeah.
But apparently there are.
And I'm from Europe, so I should know everything about Europe.
You should know that. But
I didn't know that.
We didn't know that. And there's actually Polish bison.
Yeah.
So if you ever go to Poland, guys, you want to go see a bison farm, they've got them. apparently they are a different species than what we have here, but
there are better things to see in Poland.
Yeah, and all it took was us sipping on a glass from this rare bottle to make us do some Googling. So, yeah, it was good times. Maybe not the healthiest choice for some of you who don't believe in drinking alcohol. But again, everything in moderation, right?
Including moderation.
Yeah. Man, you've been traveling a lot. So I met you, I think, over Skype.
Yeah,
was our first interaction.
Skype, yeah.
Checking out your platform, trying to figure out what I was going to do, and I realized that I'm new to this. I'm good at marketing. I'm good at other things. I was like, you know what? Why try and recreate the wheel? You guys took the time to put together a platform. But before we get into that, I really wanted to kind of touch on this crazy lifestyle you've been living, man. Like, you came over to New York for another event, right? And then you went from another event to here, and then you're going to go back to New York.
Yeah, well, so it sounds really cool, but it's really not. So I'm just really, really tight. So, like, I don't want to spend any money.
Okay.
So I'm like, I've got to save this money. So, no, not really. I don't mind investing in things, but it was like £1,000 each way to fly to Philly from the UK.
What's the translation on that?
$1,300.
Okay.
Each way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, $300 to fly to New York.
What?
Tell me about it. And then a two-hour drive or a two-hour train journey.
Oh, hell yeah. I do New York all day long.
Yeah, completely.
And then you
have
some sights.
Yeah, so I've been to New York a fair bit. So I took the time and just saw some members. So I spoke to, like, you met Larry. Larry earlier on from Used Car Mentor. I went for a beer.
And he came
Larry.
Down here.
Yeah, he came down here. Didn't give me a lift. cheers, Larry. Appreciate that. I met Patrick Flechtenstein.
What happened to that community aspect that we've been building
here?
Yeah,
he's out on the edge now. He's not getting anything. Support tickets. No, you're all right. So Larry's such a good guy. And we met. So I spoke to Larry. I met Patrick Flechtenstein, who's one to watch. Look out for him.
Okay.
Met David Trinacan, who runs Smashing the Plateau.
Wow.
Me and Amel, who's a podcast websites member, meeting Doug Brush on Monday.
Wow.
Just meeting a lot of people. Going to a Jeffrey Hazlett event on Monday night with Mitch.
I'm trying to figure out if I can open up my schedule to get over there.
Yeah,
because
that'd be cool.
I'm only like an hour and 15 from New York City.
Yeah.
So I can just pop in. So it's not a big deal. I just got to see what the schedule looks like Monday night. But I think they're doing like a pre-happy hour thing or something.
Yeah, I didn't really get the full detail. I'm going to speak to Mitch tomorrow. We're getting a train up. But
yeah.
So that's the schedule. It was a no-brainer to go into New York.
Okay.
Stay there a little bit. I've got some friends there. I've done a little bit of startup work there. So I met a couple of startup guys out there, a couple of mentors and a couple of founders.
So you're doing some networking. You know, it's rock and roll.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I just like to see people. I like to push myself and see what's out there.
I think it's powerful because, again, you're literally on the other side of an ocean.
Yeah.
And yet you have a lot of members here in the U.S. So it's like, dude, FaceTime is powerful. If you can take the chance to pop on a plane and fly over, why not?
Oh, man, 90% of our members, Podcast Websites members, are U.S.
Oh, wow.
90,
okay.
If not more than 90.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so is that because it's just a different lifestyle over here and we're more open to podcasting? Or because I don't know what the is podcasting huge in the U.K.? I don't know.
So I was talking to Jess Kuferman about this earlier. It was Tina Dietz. I don't know. It's a weird one, you know. It's a weird one. So, like, the first thing is obviously with JLD, John Lee Dumas,
right?
From EO Fire. He's my business partner in this, and there's myself, Kieran, and John, and
which is really how I found out about this. So
yeah, JLD. Yeah. Like when we spoke about it, I was like, look, I can do the platform. You can do the front end of it. You know, it's a perfect mix. You know,
it's great. It's you guys are working mix. Great together.
Yeah, and he's a sound guy. We get along. He's like you and me. He's like Michael. You know, we have a good laugh. We've got the same values. So because of that, I think that leads to many more US podcasters getting involved. But I don't know, the UK scene's funny because you've got people like Mike and Isabella Russell who run New Media Europe, who like
right.
do amazing work in New Media Europe. And I often wonder about this because I know a lot of podcasters in the UK, but I don't know if it's just like a percentage of the population. So I'll say like 2% of the population of the US
okay.
is into podcasting. And let's say 2% of the UK. That's just a significantly smaller pond, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess you want to base it on population density per country. Yeah,
yeah.
I think we're a little bigger.
Just a touch.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think there's also... So you see this in the startup world as well. There's a lot more willingness to embrace, one, new technology, but two, take a risk on something new. So like you've only got to look at seed rounds, seed investments in the US versus the UK. The scale of those seed rounds is completely different.
And real quick, we're throwing out some business jargon here. And again, the show does balance that. You know, we're trying to fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. So real quick, what would be a short, skinny or definition of the whole seed round thing? In case there's some people don't understand that.
A seed round is when a startup, typically a tech startup, has typically proven enough traction to generate an investment from what is typically a set of either very, very high net worth angels or more typically a set of VC funds.
Okay.
So a seed round is like the first round of raising investment.
And this is usually involved with VC work.
Typically.
I used to work with a company that was like, they were angel funded. They didn't like the VC game.
Yeah, that's typical like pre-seed.
Okay.
So pre-seed is when a business is starting to find product market fit, it's testing an MVP.
Okay.
And a seed round is when you've got some traction and you're actually looking to just start penetrating a little bit more.
Then you go through
to like a Series A, Series B, Series C, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So you've only got to look at each particular one of those rounds in the US is so much bigger than it is in the UK. And
just,
I think that,
is there just that much money more available? There's more companies, I guess, involved? Or
I think it's as much that as it is the willingness to get involved and take more of a risk, but also just, you know, to embrace new things. So in the UK, we've got a decent scene, I think that can be applied to podcasting and new media in general.
Right.
You know, the guys that are pushing podcasting in the UK, you know, there's a very small handful of them. You know, there's maybe like 20 that I can think of.
Whereas okay.
in the US, you know, there are people coming through every single day that are just doing very good things.
That came up literally right before Mark and I sat down, we were meeting with Neil. And Neil's involved with the big project, the Messengers documentary, which is going to be about the struggles and the life of what it's like to basically the beginner podcaster, intermediate podcasters, and that's coming out in February 2017. So, and we got to see his presentation today, and it's pretty powerful. They're using Indiegogo as a platform, so obviously they're not doing any kind of seed funding. They're doing a crowdfunding type of platform, which is been pretty exciting over the past 5 years, seeing how people are doing Kickstarters and Indiegogos and everything else. Now, have you seen more of that around the podcasting world too at all, like mixing in? Or
so a little bit. I mean, the things like Patreon, so where you can become, you can set up a page on patreon.com,
okay,
where people can just donate to the show on whatever, you know, whatever basis you want. So it's kind of like Kickstarter but for like ongoing support. which is really
cool. I saw that. It seems weird to me. Like, oh, wait, you're listening to my show, and if you like it, please donate to keep it going.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I like it. That's just me, though. That's just me. I'm not busting on them.
I'm not on it for that reason.
Yeah.
I'm not on it. But I like it. Like, I always think about looking at it, and I probably one day, maybe, probably.
I guess we should just watch the market and see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. But then, I don't know. I think it's a nice thing. You know, it's if you've got a show and you can generate a couple hundred bucks a month.
Well, I mean, let's look at it a little bit deeper. You are doing something that I've done multiple times over the past year recently. And we're not trying to really flip the subject here, but we're just specifically talking about how people acquire funding and on the business side. And we're going to relate to a little bit of his lifestyle right now. You've been doing a lot of social media posts on the basically for fallen veterans who are suffering from PTSD, and there's a high rate of suicide. So if people haven't seen this yet on Facebook and all over the place, you're seeing there's different hashtags. Some people call it push up for vets. What is your hashtag you're using?
I think mine is just like 22-day push up challenge or something.
Yeah, 22. Basically the saying is, and I've got a few ex-military buddies that have given me different feedback. They actually don't like what this is going on, so I don't even want to get into that weirdness of it. But, I mean, hey, you're ex-military. If you don't like it, I respect that. Yeah. But the mission here that people are trying to do this, and I've done it on social media as well, is they're just trying to bring awareness to this rate of suicide. And so the point of this question to you is you've been doing this now for how many days?
Well, I've actually been doing it for about 30. I have to keep having days off because I've got a dodgy rotator cuff.
Okay.
So I'm like, every time I smash a decent set of press-ups out, I need to have a little bit of rest.
You're a little overwhelming the shoulder?
I've just got a bad one at the minute. I don't know what it is. Oh, we were talking about it yesterday. I need to just cool down better when I'm training. Because I'm really into like volume training. I just do big heavy training at low rep stuff.
Right. So I'm like lower rep, higher weight.
Yeah, I'm a naturally skinny guy, so I have to eat, I have to train heavy to keep any mass.
In the same way. We just burn through the supposed calorie, as some people call it. You know, but it's like, dude, it's just energy. You're just ripping through the energy that you're consuming.
Which is I was pretty bad for that. A little bit less now, I'm a little bit older, but, you know, I still my default is to lose muscle mass very quickly.
Well, if you're going to maintain the muscle mass, that is the nutrition. Like, it's people are like, oh, I'm always trying to lose weight, to burn the fat. I'm like, yeah, but if you're not eating the right nutrition, you can also lose the muscle.
Oh, I mean, God, yeah. And just the clean eating and throwing. My most effective way of losing any kind of fat is eating more clean calories.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm talking more, significantly more, as if I was building.
Oh, I hit the salad bar here for dinner because for some reason the dinner took too long. So I went back to the salad bar, like, giant second plate time, and people are like, you like your veggies, don't you? I'm like, you really can't overeat vegetables. Just saying. I mean, it's really hard to overeat on salad.
Yeah, for sure. And just, you know, get your fill of that. And it's a little bit of high-intensity cardio in there. And just that's my most effective workout, because I put muscle mass on and do actually burn through fat.
Well, I mean, the cool thing is, so to kind of tie it all together here, you've been traveling a lot. You're using the power of social media when you're bouncing around. When your shoulder's not bothering, you're busting out the 22 push-ups to bring awareness to these high rates of suicide for ex-military, for the veterans. And this is happening not just here in the States. I'm guessing this happens in the UK and all over. Is that how you found it? Was it because of a UK incident, or was it because of an American US incident?
Someone tagged me, actually. So I don't have that many affiliations with like the military. The only background that I've got is my granddad was in the Royal Engineers and Mechanical Electrical and Mechanical Engineers.
I don't even know what that is. So obviously something in the UK.
It's like a division of the UK Army. He was basically fixing tanks up.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, he took a chunk out. If anyone ever goes to Edinburgh Castle, there's a massive chunk out of the front of Edinburgh Castle. He did that in a truck. He ran into Edinburgh Castle and just like the castle came off worse. So he was in, that's my only part of military connection. But someone tagged me in it. It was like the Ice Bucket Challenge a couple of years ago. Someone tagged me in it.
Okay.
And I was like, man, holy crap, this is happening?
Yeah.
Even though I don't know anyone that's directly affected by it, or, you know, maybe I do and I just don't know.
It's powerful, though.
Well, it was just like, well, look, it's going to take me like less than a minute. It'll take me like 1 minute, 40 seconds.
Right.
To deal with this every single day. So why not just do it?
Yeah,
I like to do press ups. It's good for the chest.
Yeah.
So why
and,
not?
And depending
do it?
On how your form is, you're either doing mostly chest, but depending on how your arm position is, if you're doing a military style versus a traditional style, like you might see more tricep mixed in. So And as long as your shoulder's healthy and it can handle it, I understand what you're going through because I've had my shoulder rebuilt twice with surgeries. So you get good days and bad days.
Yeah, it's not the best. I mean, it's not bad. It's just after, it's when I heavy lift. So my problem is I'm terrible with my chest. Like, so if I want to build my chest, I have to really. I'm like, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger was with his calves. You know, I mean, I don't look like Arnie, but you know, that was his weak point.
Okay.
And he didn't overtrain it, but he had to focus on the weak points.
Yeah.
And my chest is my weak point, always has been. So I do put a lot of focus on that, which causes the bloody problems.
Yeah, but I'm with you on that. Maybe it's because we're taller, leaner guys. Maybe that is a common thread. I never bothered researching it to figure that out, but it's taken me a long time to build that section of my body up as well. Like, I've always been a cyclist and a runner, so depending on the time of year, the calves look better than others, so I don't have to focus as bad, you know, as much. But the chest, it must be a tall, lean guy thing. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so, I think you're right. I think it is. It's always been my problem. But then my shoulders grow really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, my shoulders grow really quickly.
It's important for your shoulders or anybody who's having shoulder issues that you just mentioned is that, and I can speak to this because I've had it rebuilt twice. We talked about this last night. It could be literally just because you're overtraining. Like, it just could be, you know what? You're living a crazy lifestyle. You're trying to fit in the fitness when you can. When you fit the fitness in when you can, you're going heavy, like you just said, and you're just overwhelming that joint or overwhelming those muscle groups. And then you're trying to throw in push-ups every single day because that's the goal of that 22 push-ups for veterans. So it's like you're basically overtraining that section of the body. And to your own admittance last night, you're like, yeah, I'm probably not doing a lot of mobility work or stretching afterwards to allow that joint to kind of open back up and get some recovery in there. So that's probably what's going on for you, man.
Oh,
and again, I'm not a doctor.
I'm
speaking from experience.
I'm lazy with the mobility stuff, the pre and post warm-ups. I'm bad with that.
So you're telling me is you're not a guy like in the hotel room or bust out a little yoga, a little downward dog or anything like that stuff?
I'm not that guy. I'm not that. I'm too tall for that. I'm not too tall for that, but that's
my
excuse.
I bust out yoga. I got a yoga mat in the car right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's my excuse.
Oh, okay. That does work. Because of your travel-heavy lifestyle, you don't have to worry about carrying around a yoga mat. So
I've got a resistance band. That's it.
Do you travel with them?
Yeah, I've got a resistance set.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you're obviously adapting it to your lifestyle then.
I don't mind them. Stick them in the bag. They weigh next to nothing. Take no room up.
Yeah.
And you can get a really decent workout.
Do you have different tensile strengths with them? Like, or is it just one standard, like, thickness?
No, I've just got one, but I went for a really high tensile strength on it because, I don't know, it just worked out well because the strength of it versus the length of it means I can spread the legs and get a decent set of range on it.
Yeah.
So it's worked out really well. I probably will get more.
Well, I think this is a great lesson too because we started off talking about how crazy busy you are with bouncing around. You're hitting all these events. You're meeting your members at podcastwebsites.com like me. You're bouncing from New York to Philly and back again. But you're still a smart enough guy to realize like, hey, man, if I don't like a hotel gym or if I have a shoulders bother me, I could fly with something as simple as a resistance band. And I don't even know what those cost because I've owned a few for years
like
and I forget
bucks,
what I spent. Yeah, $10 product. And what do you do, anchor it to the door?
Yeah, just you do what you want with it, anchor it to the door, stand on it,
wrap
it around a door frame. And
I like it. Do you know the good morning move where you split the band between your 2 feet, then you pop it over on the back of your neck, and then you bend over on a 90-degree angle. And I'm trying to do the hand motion. You guys can't see this. That's a great movement for the lower back and everything. So, oh, man, you guys do not know what's going on right now. The wedding party
is the weirdest wedding ever.
They're officially moving into the man-hugging, loving each other. That guy's got a serious beard, by the way.
He's got a serious beard, but he's got a shirt on with no arms.
This is great pod, guys. I mean, we're kind of going off topic because we're just in the middle of a mess here. This is the weirdest wedding that I've never been around.
Like
welcome to the U.S. here outside of Philly, I guess. So where are we again? We're in Swedesboro, New Jersey. Yeah. So I guess what's next for you? You already hinted you're going back to New York. Are you in there for a day or two? Like, what's up?
Yeah, a couple of days. Fly back Tuesday.
Okay.
And then I'm speaking in London at the Business Networking Show.
Nice.
Doing a personal branding talk, actually, talking about the power of marketing yourself and forcing your personality. That's a decent 25-minute, 30-minute talk that I do, which is a nice one. It's a good one. I do that maybe 4 times a year, 5 times a year.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that one.
I've spoken on that exact topic. I'm very passionate about people building their brand what I've actually used the topic on is controlling your brand online. Like, whether you like it or not, nowadays, somehow your name is going to end up in the internet.
Exactly.
So why not control your personal brand? And so I love speaking on LinkedIn, for example. That's a professional platform. Like, great way to control exactly how your name exists, because that's a professional platform to exist on. That way, whatever's happening in Facebook and other the rest of the world wide web, it's one area that you can say, hey, man, I'm a professional. Go there. Go look there. Some people won't go on there. I don't know how much you deal with LinkedIn or not with your branding stuff.
LinkedIn's all right, but there's too many dickheads. That's it.
Really? On LinkedIn?
Yeah, there are too many dickheads.
That's a first for me. Is it? What do you mean by dickheads?
Just like, they're complete numpties that want to sell you all the sort of snake oil crap under.
It has become a business. Yes, I see what you're saying.
Stop selling me your crap. Like, I've literally just connected with you. Stop selling me. And then you get the people.
I'm surprised that they're allowing it, because it's LinkedIn. Like, it's supposed to be a professional networking platform, and if anything, it's become a recruiting platform for companies to recruit you.
Yeah, which is fine. That works, you know. Fair play. It's just a pile of resumes, but
yeah,
you know, you can now spot the mile off when you get a LinkedIn request.
Oh yeah.
And then, like, the second afterwards, it's like, "Hi, Mark. How are you doing? I wanted to make this value connection. By the way, here's my snake oil. Buy this snake oil." Like, no, leave
and
me.
And here's the best part: if they would have studied, because I've been on LinkedIn since it was founded, so I've been here a long time. If they would have studied how LinkedIn was created, and they talk about their circles of influence, and you see little circles in the application on the website, the whole point is you're supposed to see how many degrees you're removed. Then you go through that level of the network, and you say, "Hey, man, what is the person in my network that could possibly introduce me to that person?" And that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be using those network connections. No. This guy just blindly messages you and says, "Hey, man, I got a value connection."
That's what happens all the time, honestly.
It's like their heads are so far up their butts, they don't understand the technology they're actually trying to use to grow their business.
Well, they're not interested. They're not interested. They just want to sell the stuff. It's like the people that pop up on Twitter every now and again. I'll tell you the worst one. People that just send one email every 6 months to their audience or to their users or to their customers, saying, "Oh, we've got a new product, buy it now," and don't have any consistency in comms. They just turn up, send an email newsletter out once a quarter.
I use AWeber like you guys do. Again, both partners of AWeber, great email marketing platform. And I'm like, the reason why it's an email marketing platform is you're supposed to be building a relationship with your audience, which means send at least one more email than once or twice a year.
Oh yeah, got to do it. Like, I do. I don't. Maybe one a week for each project. So I do like one for Excellence Expected. I'll do.
Yeah.
I'm really deep on segmenting, so I've got like everyone is segmented. So I'll do the Excellence audience. I'll do the podcast websites. Guys get a lot more. So there'll be some transactional emails in there around like affiliate program launches. There'll be internal memos like around the academies to the members and the study halls to the members and the new releases to the members. But then to the marketing list, the people that really want it, you know, it's like one a week. It's like, here's a free Webby, come and get involved, or here's some free tutorials, or what, you know, that's once a week.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, as this show grows and as I grow it on your platform, and it was great seeing how easy it was to integrate my AWeber right in. It was like, oh, they know AWeber. That was easy. Boom. It was like, it took 2 minutes to plug it all in and get it working. So, because I already had the account and I already had a platform. So, that was sweet, by the way. So kudos to your design team. but was that you or Kieran?
It was kind of a mixed bag. We plan everything, and then Kieran's team does the heavy lifting.
Right? Yeah, I could tell that. He's good. He's good. He's a good team member. So I guess from all of that, though, it's just a matter of, like, just like you said, personal branding, just a little bit of that business stuff, guys, is that take the time to learn your audience, get to know your audience. Whether you have a podcast, whether you have just a regular brick-and-mortar business you're trying to keep in touch over email, newsletters, whatever it may be, it's like, build a relationship with them. Don't just slap them with a sales pitch or a sales email once in a while. That's beyond annoying, and I will probably unsubscribe from your email list.
Yeah, so, no one cares about your shit.
No.
Sorry. One cares about your shit. Like, no one does. Like, no one wants to buy your stuff.
No.
What they want to do is they want to solve a problem, and if you are the person positioned at the right time, at the right place, with the right solution, then will they buy it.
Oh, yeah. Like, for example, John Lee Dumas promoted this new podcast websites program. I hopped on one of his free webinars. That free webinar taught me a lot. Then I hopped on his email list for that webinar. And then within less than a week, I was like, you know, I want to learn more because I liked how it was presented. He taught me a few things. And then there was the opportunity to connect with you. So I followed the protocols, the stuff that was in the emails that built that relationship. And then I ended up buying your product.
Exactly, so, and that's a very well thought out funnel.
Yeah, you know,
that is exactly the process that's in place for that, because you wouldn't have been on that list had you not had an interest in podcasting. Like, it's not just a sign up to the list. We'll send you one every 6 months where we want to buy, or we want to sell you like a $500 or $1,000 course.
No, it was very targeted. Very targeted.
Like, okay, you're a beginner podcaster. You know what you're doing. You're tech savvy. But actually, you don't want to do all this stuff.
Nope.
And like, we know that. The messaging's there, because you're the kind of person that we like working with.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, the whole point from what I've been learning here at this event, the Mid-Atlantic podcast event, MapCon is the hashtag, but it's like, okay, we're supposed to be focusing on the content. What we're supposed to be putting our message out there, like getting to know you. We've never been on a podcast together. I'm supposed to be getting to know you a little bit, and you're getting to know me a little bit, and then that helps the audience. That's it. I don't want to focus on how to upload a graphic and then get the right MP3 file and yada yada yada. So your platform does it all for me.
Yeah, and that's the only thing you need to do to empower people is just give them the right solution at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is.
Well, I was literally going to try and do it myself, but then I saw the demonstration and I'm like, oh, that is right up my alley. Mm. If I can spend $80-$90 a month and not have to worry about that, that's worth $80-$90 a month to me. My time freedom for my lifestyle is worth more. Like, we talk about that on the show here. It's like, fuel your health, business, lifestyle. Lifestyle, hello, people. Like, what is your time worth to you? For me, I'll spend $100 a month to have somebody else do that, or the system do that I bought into on your site, so I can go mountain biking instead.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's $100? Most of us would value our time at $100 an hour.
Easily. I have clients who pay me $100 an hour. So I'm like, oh, wait, what's my time worth to me? Just editing a show, or I'm like, no. Like I said, I want to go mountain biking.
Exactly.
I'd rather go to the gym. Like, you want to go work out? I want to go work out. Let's live our lives. Let's stay healthy. Let's stay fit. And just invest in the right tools and products to help you get there. I think that's the most important message for me anyway.
Yeah, it is. And it's a massive thing, you know. And the people that get that are the people that get it, and they're going to push forward and succeed. The people that are, you know, this sounds very kind of, I don't know, a little bit too brash and crass maybe, but the people that don't necessarily see that are the people that won't necessarily move that far that quickly, because they're too focused on not spending and not investing. Now, I understand there are people that just frankly can't afford it.
Oh, yeah.
I get that, and that's a different scenario. That is a different scenario. But there are people that can afford it that will not invest because they want to keep everything.
Well, I'm going to be really transparent right now. My budget was really tight. All right, I'm being realistic. I'm not some well-off guy. I'm still building my brand and building my business. So, yeah, I was looking at my, dude, do I really want to spend $80-$90 a month? So what did I do? I contacted a couple old clients that haven't been really hired me in a little while, and I picked up a few additional billable hours. I'm like, boom, there you go. So what's your motivation? For me, I was like, I want that. I need that. And I didn't want to tap into the rest of my business budget for that. So I was like, okay, do I have room in my time to take on a few more clients that'll not just pay for this product, but pay for other things like the equipment for this podcast, everything else? So that's what I did. I did a little marketing, reached out to some pre-existing clientele, brought on new business. Boom. Now I can justify a small residual every single month because, again, my end goal is my lifestyle. What's the freedom worth to me? So that's how it worked out.
It's a no-brainer. You know, when you think about it like that, it becomes very, very clear the way that you need to invest and the way that you need to look and approach things. It really is so very clear that even the tiniest investment in getting a little bit of time back is so very worth it.
Yes.
It really is. Because so the more successful you get, the busier you get, the more demands are on your time. You know, the bigger you get, the more prolific you get with content, the more prolific you get with courses or content and in terms of kind of saleable content, so memberships or products and services, the more prolific you get with all of that stuff, the more of a premium ends upon your time. And any way that you can save just the tiniest amount of time is going to be beneficial. It really is. And people don't see that. They always see spend, whether it's cash spend, whether it's spending time doing something. You know, they don't really necessarily see that there are things that you should spend and there are things that you shouldn't spend. Like, you shouldn't spend your time doing things that don't necessarily impact the bigger picture.
Okay.
If you can get them from elsewhere,
yeah,
as you said, at a cost that is much less than the time cost.
Well, I think not enough people actually do a cost benefit analysis. I hate to bring out a professional financial term, like what's your cost benefit analysis, but like, okay, let's just look at it from a lifestyle mm-hmm. perspective. Like, that's what I did just now. I did a lifestyle cost benefit analysis, and I said I'd rather just pay them to do that. Give me a sweet platform, and it makes my life easier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, off of that, just to get off of that subject and get into more of you, like you're doing all this for what? I mean, you're doing the podcast websites. You got your own podcast. You have your another whole coaching group that I'm I think it's also a spinoff from that. I haven't had a chance to even listen to your podcast yet because we're such a new relationship. And please share that on this show as well. I mean, I flipped the names wrong. Is it Excellence and then what's the order?
Yeah, no, you got it right. It's Excellence Expected, yeah.
Excellence Expected, yeah, because I know earlier at the event there was a chance that he was saying it the back way, but okay.
He got Excellence. It right as well and then flipped it.
But the URL is Excellence or excellence-expected.com.
Yeah, excellence-expected.com.
Yeah, there's a dash.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
A great group, by the way. I'm in the Facebook group with you guys. I love the community, so I'm looking forward to learning more from you guys. But obviously, that's something that's from you, right? That's your mantra. That's your brand, right? Podcast, websites, that's you and John Lee Dumas. So why did you create that? Like, what's your message that you're trying to get out there with that?
So I generally help early-stage entrepreneurs. So first 18 months, 2 years of business.
Okay.
Whether you're a tech startup, whether you're a solopreneur, sidepreneur, entrepreneur, whatever you are, that's, you know, my niche is I will help you in the first couple of years.
Nice.
Excellence Expected is actually a derivation of a Steve Jobs quote. He was talking about, I forget the exact scenario. He was talking about working with a subset of people, and he was saying people weren't used to working in an environment where excellence is expected. And I just liked that. But it worked well because when you're a startup, when you're an entrepreneur, when you're a founder, you expect yourself to be so very good.
That's awesome.
You expect yourself to be the best. Anytime you screw up,
I expect myself to be the best.
Yeah,
so yeah,
you expect excellence from yourself, like literally every single time.
Okay.
So that's where the name came from. So we create content, we create courses and coaching that help early stage entrepreneurs, you know, first 2 years of business.
Well, I mean, we should be holding ourselves to a higher standard. Yeah, that's how I look at it.
You will, but by virtue of being an entrepreneur, you can't do things by halves. Otherwise, you would not earn any money.
Well, and it's funny because even though Excellence Expected is your brand, you can clearly tell you've channeled that into podcast websites because I've been building my own WordPress sites for fun. I'm not a web developer, by any stretch of the mean, but I was like, you know what? I just didn't want to pay anybody to do it. Mm. And just plug it into your system was like, oh, wow. Okay, that's what it's like when you're working with people who actually know what the hell they're doing. And, oh, it is way the hell easier than the way I was doing it, so I'm just going to pay them. So.
No, it does. They are very close. Everything that I do is very tightly related to the same set of values because they all come from me.
Yeah.
So the values are always the same. You know, ease, simplicity, clear, consistency, solution-led, value-led. It's all coming from the same person.
Okay.
So inevitably, it will be very close.
Well, and one thing I love is, like, I always challenge you're only like episode 6 or 7 now. So, but the fact that a lot of people claim it's hard to balance their health while they're doing their business and trying to figure out their lifestyle. To me, I mean, it seems like you got it pretty well together. You're traveling around. You got a couple different business projects going on. You got some time freedom. You're out here hanging out with us. You're working in causes like 22 push-ups for our veterans. So, it seems to be working, right? I mean,
it's all right. I get some things wrong. There's no doubt about that. And I'll still, you know, every morning I've got a routine. I'll go through. I'm very keen on checking support tickets. I don't have to do it, but I want to every morning. I check the support tickets on podcast websites, and I respond to them. I assign them.
Okay.
Because I like to keep. I want to get a feel for what the community.
I've gotten a few replies from you. I was expecting to hear from Kieran, and I'm like, I get it from you, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I do it, and I do one to ones, and I want to do that, and I check emails a couple of times a day. A little bit less when I'm traveling, but there are things that I still screw up inevitably. There are still, you know, times that I should be doing something else when I'm doing something else. But,
okay.
You know, overall, all you're doing all the time is optimizing things. You just, productivity optimization is a thing. You know, you're never at peak productivity because circumstances change. So that's what I'm like.
Well,
I'm
life always, is always changing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's all just about optimizing what you're doing and optimizing every part of your life. And, you know,
I think we're all guilty of that.
Yeah,
it's like we're shooting for that excellence or that we mistake it as perfection.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, nobody's perfect. Give up on it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Just stop
we're never going to be perfect.
Just stop trying to chase that.
Yeah. Like, all you can do is just try and live as balanced life as you can. And when it does get unbalanced, just do your best to get it back dialed in, man. Whether it be like even though you got an injury, you're still trying to work your fitness in and your health in. Like, you're injured, but you know when you have a good day and a bad day, and that's no excuse. You're traveling with your bands. Like, you're still working this stuff in. So that's balance. Like, you're still taking that seriously. And that's something that came up on the last episode with Neil. Was like, we're like, listen, man, you got to put your health in there, or else it's going to catch up to you super fast. And I don't even want to know about what your jet lag life is like. I'm sure that's a fun blast.
We stay on top of that.
Okay.
It's all going back to the UK that's a problem, when you can't get to sleep. Waking up early is not a problem.
Yeah. I've never been to the UK. I've only been to Ireland once. So I'll have to pop over there again.
Same time
soon.
Zone. But you're not missing that much.
Okay.
Get to London. London's
that's
cool.
Not what everybody else says. They said, well, you got to go to the UK. Ireland's small. And they said, well, if you're going to go for bigger castles, it goes from Ireland to Scotland to the UK as far as size.
We've got some cool stuff, in all fairness. It is pretty nice.
So I guess let's bring the show here to an end with you and say, you know, like, what is there a message that you like to share to an audience? Again, with my theme here with the show, it's, you know, we're trying to fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. And we kind of touch a little on everything, but I don't know. Is there something that you like, a message that has been working for you that you think could help with other people? I'm not asking for, like, cheesy quotes or anything like that. You know, it's like,
well, I always sign everything off. Like, everything that I do with Excellence Expects. I don't do it with podcast websites. But the little sign off that I've got is, the more you expect from yourself, the more you'll excel. You are better than you think you are at everything that you start doing. Inevitably, you are more capable than you think. You know more than you think. And no one expects that. You don't expect yourself to be that good. Like, the first time you recorded a podcast, it will have been better than you thought. It will have been. And you'll still beat yourself up about it, but it will be better than you thought. The first time you go back to the gym after 6 months off, it's better than you thought. Like, you didn't break anything.
Yep. The muscle memory is better than you thought.
Exactly. The first time you hit a golf ball after 2 years off, it's better than you think.
Yeah.
It just, you can always do better than you think. So I always say that's the thing. Just, you expect as much from yourself as you possibly can, and you will do that. You will achieve that. And I think if you're a driven individual, if you're motivated, you always expect 120, 130%. So even if you get to 90%, everyone else is at 60, man. Everyone else is at 60. So just keep expecting the best from yourself.
Dude, that's a great message, man. All right, guys. Well, that's the Live the Fuel show. You just heard it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. That's Mark Asquith, podcast websites, Excellence Expected. Thank you, man. That's a great message.
A pleasure. Thank you, man.
Yeah. So again, guys, this is the Live the Fuel show. Make sure you go check out podcastwebsites.com. Make sure you check out Excellence Expected. Great podcast. I need to start listening to it, apparently, because his message is very, very clear. So again, guys, keep living the fired up epic life. Keep focusing on ways to fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. #LiveTheFuel.